Tim and David.
So Calipari goes to Kentucky. I want to talk a little bit about these tournament games. Did you guys watch the Sweet 16 Elite Eight games? What were your impressions on a few games? There was one in particular that I was just fascinated by. It was the Louisville Michigan State game. I don't know if you guys got a chance to check that out.
I thought that was an awesome game. Watching Goran Sutan is incredible. I love that player. The man, Goran Sutan.
So watching that game, Michigan State wins by about 15 points over the heavily talented, heavily favored Louisville Cardinals. And I thought, just looking at, from my perspective, on Michigan State's play, I thought it was the most efficient game of basketball I've seen in a long time. And
I mean, you talk about a conference in which you see 40 to 30 games. I mean, we talked about that before, but, you know, that's just kind of basketball you're going to expect out of the Big Ten. And, David, you said it to me earlier. The fact is that there's not a single player that's played 4 years for Tom Izzo that hasn't made the Final Four. And it's just a tribute to his consistency as a coach and his ability to get his team back each and every 4 years.
Yeah, and that's one of the most impressive statistics I've heard, to have, you know, each class that goes with Izzo, assuming these players stay all 4 years, they're going to go to a Final Four.
Yep.
They might not win. They might not win the championship, because Izzo's only won once, but he's made five. And the fact that all these classes have made it is just something so impressive.
We started talking about this last week. Well, we talked about Coach K and how he's supposed to be the best college coach, but, I mean, when it comes to tournament time, his teams really just don't fare as well. So I guess there's a question for anyone really, but for David especially, what is the difference between Izzo and Coach K? Because you have Izzo takes his team to the Final Four. You expect him to do well in the tournament. And when you see Coach K, you don't expect him to do well. And I don't know. I feel like at this point, Michigan State is just a better basketball program overall than Duke because of that one factor.
Now, I think that – now, I might disagree with in terms of how good the programs are. I still would say Duke is better. But the way that they're different is that I think it's just a mentality, a toughness mentality, because Izzo's players, top to bottom, I don't think they're as good as Duke's players.
I don't think so either.
I just don't think.
Every kid grows up wanting to play for Duke.
Kalen Lucas, he's the Big Ten Player of the Year. He's good. He's a solid guard, but, you know, he's not anything too special. Travis Walton was the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. Solid player, once again, but not as talented as Gerald Henderson. Not as talented as John Shire. Just not as talented as these guys. And Greg Paulus, he's over here. I don't think he's that very good. But in general, they're just tougher. And their game plan is suited to play not just against certain types of basketball teams. Duke flounders when they play against certain teams. UNC, they can't really beat UNC anymore. And you look at the recent years. I mean, Duke's won about one time the past, like, 3-4 years.
UNC's just surpassed Duke in the past couple of years, though, in general.
Yeah, and Tyler Hansbrough never lost at Cameron Indoor Stadium, the vaunted Cameron Indoor Stadium. Tyler Hansbrough never lost. So when you look at their programs, I mean, they're going in different directions right now. But I think in general it's just the way that those coaches like to teach. And do you have anything to say about that?
I mean, I agree with you. Michigan State's extremely tough program. They're one of the best rebounding teams in the country, if not the best. So that's going to be a great battle, seeing them play UConn tomorrow. I picked UConn to win the entire thing. So obviously I think UConn's going to win the game. But, I mean, let's face it, it's pretty much a home game for Michigan State. They're playing the game in Detroit. So it's going to be a tough matchup. Honestly, this – no matter what the final ends up being, I think this matchup ends up being my favorite, just because you have this grinded out team versus this Connecticut team that's also a very tough team, but they have a lot of talent at the guard position. They're really dynamic. At some point, you almost feel like you're watching an NBA team when you're watching Connecticut. So I feel like this matchup's going to be excellent.
Like, I think they're even more talented than Louisville. So we'll see. And they have even more NBA players than Louisville does.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to just see the contrasting styles. I like seeing that.
Exactly.
And what factor do you think it's going to play? Michigan State gets to play in their own home state, playing at Ford Field, where the Detroit Lions play. I mean, you got to figure that aside from the student sections or the allotted tickets for each of the fans, You're going to have a lot of UNC fans flying up there, but, you know, UNC's made it before, so you might not get the fans really dedicated and going. It's not like it's their first time ever entering the Final Four. I think Michigan State's going to have a phenomenal showing of fans, and I think that could be a factor.
Yeah, you're right. It will be a de facto home game because Villanova, I don't think their fans travel too well. Even though they don't make it very often.
I feel like Nova's going to travel well, because they haven't made it that often.
Only because the last time they made it was, I think, 85.
I think
when
that's
they
right,
won.
Yeah.
So Villanova, we're not sure about. UConn, they travel pretty well. But in general, if your team, whoever you root for, is playing within an hour of where you are you going to go?
Well, Final Four brings up some different questions, especially in this economy. Tickets are about over $1,000.
The thing is, though, Detroit obviously is suffering as a state just because of all the stuff that's happening there,
right?
With the car companies and whatnot. So I feel like that's actually extra incentive to go to this game because they need some kind of happiness in their lives. So I think even more so, it's going to be even more of a home court advantage for Michigan State. However, I mean, Connecticut's just really, really good. So I'm just not sure. Home court advantage will be enough.
I just think that'll add to the intrigue, at least.
Yeah.
Not that you really need much more intrigue than Final Four. But when you look at those two matchups, you got Villanova, UNC, UConn versus Michigan State. You got to say the Michigan State-UConn is the more compelling matchup there.
Well, I agree with that. But I still have no clue. And this is pretty much why I wasn't able to run away with my bracket pool. But who is Villanova? I still don't know who this team is. I still don't have a good feel for this team.
I'm still trying to figure that out, too. Now, I was quoted by my roommate saying that they were terrible. I thought they were an awful team. So I was like, okay, they're going to lose to Duke. Like, they can't handle Duke. It's Coach K.
Right.
Come on. And they destroyed Duke. They beat Duke 77-54.
Yeah, that's
it wasn't even
destruction.
Close. It wasn't even close.
There's no chance Duke could have won that game. Zero.
And Villanova just continues to surprise me. And, you know, the game against the Elite Eight game, They played pretty well against Pitt. They played pretty well. It's funny because they don't really have a true big man. They haven't ever. Since Jay Wright's been coaching, he's really specialized the guard position. And I want to talk a little bit more about Villanova after this public service announcement because I could talk about them for a while. And it's time to do a little public service.
A little bit of public service.
The Earth has a natural balance of life. Global warming is disrupting that balance. You can help fight global warming. If every family replaced 3 frequently used light bulbs with compact fluorescent bulbs, it's like taking 3.5 million cars off the road. Find out how you can help at fightglobalwarming.com. It's fightglobalwarming.com. This is brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Again, you're listening to We're Talking Sports, K-Word Sports Talk with Jeff, Tim, and Dave, 90.3 FM here in Clayton, Missouri. On KWUR Radio, please, please, please send us an email, kwursportstalk@gmail.com. That's kwursportstalk@gmail.com, and we will answer your question for you. So we know you're listening out there. We have the evidence right here in front of us. So just shoot us a little email. You want to talk about Final Four? You could talk about NFL, which we're going to get to in a short while. First, let's continue talking about the Final Four. David, you were discussing about Villanova, their prospects for taking down UNC.
Well, they're just going to have to continue what they've been, their mentality throughout this tournament. Basically, Jay Wright, the head coach, he gives his players the freedom to take the shots that they normally might not feel they should take. Now, this guy, Dante Cunningham, and Scotty Reynolds. Scotty Reynolds is the catalyst to this team. This guy is only about 6'1".
He's the one that hit
the game-winning shot. Mm-hmm. Now, this is a guy who takes every clutch shot. This is a guy who could dribble down the court with plenty of time left on the clock, jack up a three, and the coach would not be mad at him. He gives them the freedom to make these type of plays. This team reminds me of, it was a few years ago, Villanova made it all the way to the Elite Eight. They had a team composed of 4 guards and 1 forward. And they were pretty successful with that team. And this is a team. They beat Pitt. Pitt had one of the best big men in the country, in DeJuan Blair. And they limited him. They just doubled him every time he got the ball, and it worked. So I think that against a team like UNC, You know, they have guys like Deion Thompson, Tyler Hansbrough, big guys. I mean, they're probably more talented at the guard position. But I think that Villanova can play with UNC.
Do you think that they can take down the national title?
There's a chance. I mean, at this point, it's two games. And these guys are good enough. They've beat enough teams that you throw all the rules out the window. Of course, yeah, I'm going to pick the favorites. I'll pick North Carolina. I'll pick UConn. I'll pick North Carolina to win it all.
But
that's also in the bracket.
But if it's Villanova, Michigan State, you're not surprised.
I'm not surprised, and I would pick Villanova.
Yeah.
Because I really do think that.
Let's break down the odds real quick. The favorite to win it all, you say UConn, Tim.
Yes.
North Carolina.
I say North Carolina also. The second favorite to win it all, I say Michigan State. I know that's crazy, and no one would agree.
I disagree,
but
I think Michigan State's
going to beat UConn, and I'm rooting for him personally. I like Goran Sutton. Just from watching one game of Michigan State play and watching Goran Sutton hit every shot he took in the first half.
He had like 17 points in the first half.
He was amazing. He was incredible.
I think you just like saying his name. Personally.
I love that.
Goran Sutton. He's the man.
Is he Serbian?
He's foreign. I know he's foreign. And Goran Sutton, for anyone who didn't watch
foreign,
the game.
David?
Wow. I'm sorry. I don't know. Wow. I'm not gonna specify if I don't know. But Goran Sutton, basically, for anyone who didn't see the game, this is a guy, power forward, who basically Louisville has a 2-3 zone or a swarming zone, trap zone, and he would just find a little spot in the middle, a pocket in the middle of the zone, and he'd just take a mid-range jump shot, and he made everything. He was such a catalyst to this team.
So we have a phone call in regards to the Final Four. We got Brian on the air. So, what Brian's saying is that Michigan State is obviously going to win. It's not true at all that UConn's going to win, that UNC is going to win. Michigan State is home court advantage. They're tournament tested. You said they're tournament tested, right? Brian? All right. Brian votes for Michigan State. So thanks, Brian, for supporting me. So thanks for calling, Brian. Trouble with the phone system, apparently, as I'm killing the phone right now to my right. Lots of trouble with the phone system. That's why the email is the most reliable method. Again, kwersportstalk@gmail.com. But Brian votes for Michigan State. And Brian's not wrong very often, I don't think.
Not very often. No, he's not. So
so there's just further evidence to my claim that Michigan State will win it all.
Well, you know, I guess we'll see. I just don't think that UConn's got a lot of size, got a lot of length everywhere. And their guards are obviously pretty talented with A.J. Price leading the show. But I don't know if they just have – I said that about Louisville. I didn't think the game would be close against Louisville. I thought Louisville would control this game throughout. And even you noticed even the first couple of minutes, even though the game was tied, I thought Louisville would just run away with this game. I didn't think Michigan State would score 30 or 40 points.
Yeah, it definitely looked like Michigan State was the underdog in the beginning of the game.
So I've bet wrong on Michigan a couple times now. I picked Kansas over them in the Sweet 16. So I'm still going with UConn.
Yeah, I would go with Carolina. The only reason I'm not going with Carolina for number one is the same reason I didn't pick them in the beginning. Lawson's still not 100%. And so I'm gonna take that into consideration here and say that they would be the number two team, in my opinion. Just thinking about the games that I saw over last weekend, the Sweet 16 game, Villanova versus Duke. I just want to go back to that one for a second. I watched the first couple minutes of that game, or maybe even just the first couple baskets, and I turned to the person next to me and I said, Villanova is just a better team. Like, it was very clear, you know, and you did say that they wanted to went on to blow them out, but Villanova is a scary team. I mean, they're streaky, you know. I basically what I'm saying is, if any of these teams win, there's just no surprise to me. All these teams are good. They're all different. They're all completely different types of teams. And so I'm not sure what happens if any of these teams win. I guess my only thing is I just don't know if North Carolina and Connecticut do meet in the finals. I'm not sure that North Carolina has an answer for it to beat.
Very true. I thought that North Carolina might not have an answer for Blake Griffin. And for the most part, they didn't.
That's true, but
Oklahoma
didn't have an answer for any of them.
Oklahoma has to have in basketball. You know, this is a fundamental rule of basketball. You should have five players on the court at all times, And at times in that game, Oklahoma, North Carolina, it only looked like there were about 1, 2.5 players on the court. Yeah, and it was Blake Griffin and a bunch of scrubs just running around missing threes.
Yeah.
And this happened the entire game. They have a potential lottery pick, Willie Warren. He didn't do anything.
Yeah.
He had like one dunk at the end when they were down by 20. He didn't do anything. And his brother, Blake Griffin's older brother, Taylor Griffin, scored 4 points, fouled out.
Well, that brings me to another question. Is Blake Griffin going to stay?
There's no way.
Blake Griffin is not staying.
There's no way. I remember Taylor's a senior, and I remember their last home game, they celebrated Taylor moving on. And Blake was also standing, you know, it was Taylor and his mom and dad, but Blake was also standing with him. It was kind of like they were sending both Taylor and Blake off at the same time. So I could not find any conceivable reason why he would stay, even if he wanted to, because he is the consensus number one pick. There's no way anyone else could jump him. He's just so talented, so explosive. I think he's just going to be a heck of a ball player. I mean, anyone who hits his head on the rim accidentally when he's dunking, I mean, that's just kind of funny. But
Let's just hope the Wizards get that number one pick, huh?
Oh, yeah. Anyways.
Yes. Yeah, the NBA really has gone to the Knicks' chances have really gone to down the drain.
Yeah.
Really sad.
Yeah. It is sad.
It looked like the Knicks had some hope this year, didn't it?
But no, alas.
Alas, they have no hope.
I mean, the Cavs last night, I watched the game last night against the Wizards. Somehow the Cavs lost against a healthy Wizards team. They had Gilbert Arenas, they had Caron Butler, they had Antoine Jameson.
Yeah, this to me, maybe just because I'm a Knicks fan, this is kind of like the dead zone for NBA.
Yeah.
Between now and the playoffs, like in the East, does it really matter who gets the eighth spot?
No.
Because they're going to lose in the first round anyway. Yep. And then in the West, every team's pretty much locked into their playoffs. They're just jockeying for position.
Unless the Mavericks lose like all of their games, there's no way that the Suns can really catch up. They're four games behind. Just not enough time.
Just briefly to wrap up with the college basketball again, you could tune in on CBS 6 o'clock. This is on Saturday. Michigan State versus UConn is going to be the first game of the night, followed by Villanova versus North Carolina. That's tomorrow, and I'm looking forward to watching those games. 6 Eastern, so that's 5 o'clock here in St. Louis, and Villanova, North Carolina to follow. So we'll see what happens there, and we'll come back next week with a wrap-up of all the action, even though I won't be here. But
yeah, well, me and Dave will hold it down.
Again, you're listening to K-Wer Sports Talk. We're talking sports with Jeff, Tim, and Dave. 90.3 FM here in Clayton, Missouri. Please send us an email, kwersportstalk@gmail.com. We've talked about the Final Four. We've given a couple of predictions, talked about some of the issues there. Touching a little bit on the NBA. Let's talk for a second, though, about the NFL. There have been some recent developments. We got Dante Stallworth, which we're going to talk about. Got to talk about Dante Stallworth.
Did you guys talk about Ryan Moats last week?
We didn't talk about Ryan Moats last week.
We should probably bring that up a little bit.
I think that fits in the Dante Stallworth category.
Yes, yes.
And we got the Jay Cutler trade. So let's start with a little Jay Cutler action. Jay Cutler, the 25-year-old baby from the Denver Broncos.
You are not allowed to do that.
I don't think I'm allowed to do that either. Jay Cutler.
The embattled 25-year-old quarterback.
That's the journalistic approach. I like
there
it.
There you go.
Jay Cutler. In a pretty ridiculous scenario, Jay Cutler ends up on the Chicago Bears. I don't know. I actually kind of understand where he's coming from. Jay Cutler, by the way, for anyone who doesn't know, on the Denver Broncos, their starting quarterback. I think he's going to be a great quarterback still. He was their franchise quarterback for sure. They picked him from Vanderbilt a couple years ago.
He made the Pro Bowl.
He should have made it last year probably too. Diabetic. What else do we know about him? No. So, the Broncos ditch Mike Shanahan. They get Josh McDaniels instead. McDaniels, who was the Patriots' offensive coordinator, comes in and wants to acquire Matt Cassel from the Patriots, the quarterback. Now that Tom Brady's back, he's dispensable from the Patriots' end.
And you're talking about the quarterback that he spent the entire year coaching.
Exactly.
So, and natural progression, right? You want that quarterback.
Exactly. He wants his quarterback, but he didn't tell Jay Cutler that he was trying to trade for Matt Cassel to be the new Broncos quarterback. And so So from that standpoint, I see where Jay Cutler is coming from. Anyway, the Broncos fail to acquire Cassel. Somehow it gets out that they were in talks to acquire him, and that Cutler is very upset. Comes out to the media, says, "I can't believe this happened." Apparently, McDaniels and Cutler tried patching things up. It didn't work. McDaniel still said, you know, I'm going to bring in whatever quarterback's best for the job. He didn't really go full behind Cutler, which Cutler wasn't used to, having had Mike Shanahan, who was fully invested in him. So now Cutler demanded a trade, goes to the Chicago Bears, traded to the Chicago Bears for 2 first-round picks, Kyle Orton, and the Broncos also ship over a 5th-round pick from this year. So Kyle Orton goes to Denver along with 2 first-round picks. Jay Cutler is the new starting quarterback of the Chicago Bears, and this all happened in the past couple weeks.
Yeah, Cutler, for a while, there were some rumors that there might be a 3-way deal between Denver, Cleveland, and Washington, the Washington Redskins. This is after the relationship cleared between McDaniels and him wasn't going to work out. So the prospective deal here was Brady Quinn and Sean Rogers would go to Denver. Cutler and Tony Scheffler would go to Washington, and Jason Campbell and Chris Cooley would go to Cleveland. Now, this is something that it was one of those rumors, not sure where you heard it. It may have been in the talks, or maybe this was just someone who got on Trade Machine and decided to do a 3-way deal. I don't know if you can do that in the NFL. You can do that type of stuff in the NBA. But for a while, they've been talking about trading Cutler, and I thought that this wouldn't happen. I figured that a lot of times with superstars, they just draw this out into training camp, especially when you talk about guys like Chad Johnson. You know, they'll just draw this out into training camp, and they'll hold out, but eventually they'll just play for their team, and they'll be disgruntled. They actually decided to trade Cutler. They announced a couple days ago. They're like, we're going to actively shop him, and they did. So when you look at this deal, I think it just looks at the juvenile behavior that pros can sometimes act. I mean, Cutler is professional. He's 25 years old. You're not always going to agree with your coach, but still, this is your job. You have to live with them.
Right.
You have. I can't see how they would have such differences that they couldn't make it work. That
no.
He would move. Yeah. He would request to be traded from the place where he got drafted, the place where he likes, the place where he has a home and a family,
and where he has teammates.
Yeah.
That trust him.
And I'm not saying it's necessarily his fault. I'm sure. McDaniels, I'm sure he isn't the best people person in the world because he's coming right from the Belichick tree.
The thing is, I don't know. Cutler's so young still that I think it's okay. First of all, I think it's okay because I think he'll mature as a person. But just in terms of changing your team, at this point, it's all right. Brett Favre used to be on the Falcons. Whether or not he demanded a trade, he could have demanded a trade. He wasn't going to play there probably. They didn't love him there.
Eli Manning refused to play for the Chargers.
Well, yeah, that's a slightly different scenario,
yeah,
I think.
Right.
But Steve Young was on the Bucs. He was riding the bench. His coach didn't trust him, so he gets shipped to the Niners. Still rode the bench there for a while, but that's a different story. Point is, Cutler can establish a career here with the Bears. And if I'm Chicago, I think this is the best deal in history, maybe, for the Chicago Bears. Yeah, you give up 2 first-round picks, but the NFC North is a very weak division right now. And in general, the NFC is pretty weak in that the Arizona Cardinals represented the NFC in the Super Bowl. Anyone can do it. And Chicago hopes they can do it next year. And I think they have as good a chance as anyone else.
My pick is the Lions, personally. But anyway.
oh, God.
Going back to
Denver. You can't say that with a straight face. You can't.
You can't say that on the air, actually.
Yeah, that's a curse word, isn't it?
Only on April Fool's.
Say Lions. Anyway, I think going back to Denver, obviously I think the management or the coach or whoever was handling this screwed it up. Okay, that's I think it's fairly clear that from the beginning they just didn't do a good job of communicating. They probably didn't think it would happen like this, but it was their fault from the beginning. But with that being said, I think they did the right thing by trading Cutler. Yes, Cutler is a great NFL quarterback. I mean, he's thrown for like something like 45 touchdowns over the last 2 years. I mean, there are very few quarterbacks that have his physical gifts and have been able to do what Cutler has done with such little around him. I mean, he has Brandon Marshall and he has a pretty good offensive line, but I mean, no running game at all. And I think that's really been impressive. However, you know, if you're a new coach like McDaniels is, you got to come in and you got to establish yourself. And over the last couple of days, it just seemed like Cutler was messing around. I mean, he was throwing out mixed messages saying one day he said he wanted to be traded. The next day he said he didn't want to be traded and he was surprised and all this stuff. And I just think, you know, at that point, if I'm the coach, I just cut him loose. Like, I completely agree with what the Broncos did.
I mean, I think McDaniels is in a very precarious situation. Coming in as the head coach, you try to win over the team and the locker room, and right now their starting quarterback, who they fully expected would be their quarterback next year, all these Broncos players, he's gone. And it kind of just happened very suddenly. And I think the players are a little confused, and McDaniel's going to have to handle this very well. And being a new head coach, it's a really big test for him, I think.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I think that it's basically a message to the players, you know, don't mess with me. I am the coach. You're not above being traded, even if you are a Pro Bowl quarterback. I think it's a good message.
And I hope he spins it that way, and I'm sure he will, because he's an NFL head coach.
And because he's a disciple of the great Bill Belichick.
Anyways.
You didn't like the great Bill Belichick part?
No. Now, I want to talk about the impact on both of these teams. Now, the Broncos, obviously, they're going to get some young, they're going to get some youth out of this. The Bears had the late teens draft pick. So, you know, they could get some talent out of there. They could conceivably get a quarterback with that pick. You look at a guy like Mark Sanchez. He might not necessarily be there.
He won't drop that far.
Josh Freeman could be there, quarterback for Kansas State, who's not talented in college, but now he could be talented in the pros. Don't know how that works. But the Broncos, they'll have some youth.
It's the 18th pick, by the way.
18th pick. So they won't be as good, I don't think. Now the Bears.
Back to the Broncos real quick. In terms of their quarterback situation, I don't think Sanchez will last that long because I think teams will trade up to get him. I think he'll go maybe around 10 or 11 at the furthest. I think the Niners might actually trade out of the 10th spot and let someone else snag him, but that's a different story. If you're the Broncos, what do you do with your quarterback situation? You have Kyle Orton right now competing with Chris Sims, and that's pretty much your quarterback situation. And, I mean, do you sign Jeff Garcia? Are you trying to win now? Like, there's a lot of issues going
there. It's weird because they signed Brian Dawkins. And this is a guy who's 37 years old, and he's here to win now. I mean, if I were Brian Dawkins, I'd be a little upset because they don't have much of a running game, as Tim said, and the quarterback. Now, let me say this. Kyle Orton is good enough to be a starting NFL quarterback. This is a guy who played well last year. He gets hurt, but...
Yeah, he played well. Like you said, he played well at the beginning of the year. He got hurt, and he wasn't so good after that.
He's got a strong arm.
He was very good.
And
he plays ugly, but he wins.
Yeah.
His record in the NFL is 21-13 or something like that, as opposed to Cutler's 16-20. So
in that regard, they can. If I were them, I would probably. They have two first round draft picks. I would use one of them on a quarterback. And just leave it like that. Chris Sims, I can't trust him because he gets hurt. I mean, he had that horrible spleen injury. I don't know.
I think you have an open competition in training camp. I don't think you let the rookie win. You can't. But you got to figure that they're okay with Orton being their starting quarterback. Yeah. Otherwise, you just don't trade for him.
Yeah, that's true. And I think they'll be fine. I just don't think they're going to make the playoffs. There's no way that this team... Just their offense. You look at their offense. It's not explosive at all. They have Brandon Marshall. That's it.
And they don't have continuity in the head coaching position.
Yeah.
It does make you question the Brian Dawkins thing. Because right now, we're talking about Denver. Kind of see them as a team that's 2 or 3 years away from really competing.
Well, there are two reasons you sign a veteran like that. One, if you feel that he can contribute to your team on the field. Mm. And two, if you feel he can contribute to your team in the locker room.
Right.
So that might have been a strategic signing to try to influence the locker room, influence those younger players. Because sometimes that's really all those signings are meant to be. I don't really know how good Brian Dawkins is still, but I agree with you guys. I don't think the Broncos are very good. I don't think they are built to win this year. I think that's why they got all those draft picks for this year and next year to help fill some of those
holes. And you got to think, they also signed Dawkins before they knew they'd lose Cutler. So
true.
Not a great offseason right now for Denver Broncos, but you want to talk about the Bears.
I think the Bears, especially in the NFC North, they can take advantage of this situation because you look at the Vikings and they're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. They have their quarterback, they've entrusted them their franchise and their quarterback. Quarterback's not that good and he's not producing, but there aren't that many other options out there. Defense, their defense keeps them in games. Their running game is solid, but it can only take you so far if you don't have prolific offense, throwing aerial offense. So the Vikings, they're kind of stuck. They're a solid team, but I don't think they can ever really get too far in the playoffs. The Packers, yeah,
They got Sage Rosenfels' offseason to compete with Tavares Jackson for their quarterback position.
Helicopter Sage, after his he made a pretty terrible play last season.
Helicopter Sage.
So he got the nickname there.
One of the few Jews in the NFL. Sage Rosenfels.
Okay. Yep.
I have to know my Jewish athlete trivia being a Jewish sports fan.
Great. All right. I didn't know that.
I mean, it makes sense.
And the Broncos have one of the only white running backs.
Oh, yes. Peyton Hillis. And then Chargers have Jacob Hester. But
those are the two things I have to know as a white Jewish sports fan.
I follow white running backs, too, because it's so rare when you see one. It's great.
Only ones I care about are the Asian NFL players, because those are so rare.
Yeah.
Well, you got the Samoans. Samoa has an amazing NFL history.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
Haloti Ngata.
Haloti Ngata.
Lopa Tatupu.
Okay, but...
but we all digress.
Yeah, that's great. So back to the Bears just for a second. They can really capitalize on the situation, because think about the quarterbacks that they have had in the past, two decades. I can think of Brian Griese.
Jim Miller,
Kyle Orton, Rex Grossman.
Grossman was great for one half of one
year.
He was amazing.
He was on my fantasy team that year. It was crazy.
Did Harbaugh play in Chicago, maybe?
I don't think so.
Cade McNown.
Yeah.
And, you know, beyond that, my memory isn't that good, but it goes all the way back to Jim McNown.
Cordell Stewart.
Thank you.
Cordell Stewart. Yeah. And then it goes all the way back to Jim McMahon for me. And 1985 was when, of course, they had that dominant defense when they – took their team, won the Super Bowl. I think that with a quarterback, an actual good quarterback, the Bears, their potential is endless, because their defense has always been established. I mean, throughout their years, the defense has been established as talented. No matter how old Urlacher gets, he's still one of the preeminent linebackers in the NFL.
Along with Lance Briggs.
Briggs is better than Urlacher at this point in their careers.
Patrick Willis?
I'm talking about between, you know, Briggs and Urlacher. Patrick Willis is better. Okay,
all right, let's stick with the NFC North for now.
I'll give you that.
Fine.
But,
fine, guys.
You just look at their defense. They just have veteran defense. I think they can compete with anyone with that defense. And then you throw in Matt Forte, one of the stud young running backs in the NFL. And you throw in a decent offensive line and a Pro Bowl quarterback, hey, I mean, that's really a recipe for a Super Bowl team.
Right, but you're really going at it with everything you got right now. You traded away your first-round pick, not only this year, but next year. So, I mean, this is definitely an investment. I think it's a wise investment at the right time, given the division that they're in.
And I think it energizes the fans, you know. I think they gave up a lot. They gave up a whole lot. And I think... I don't really know if Denver could have gotten a better deal by trading. I think it was a fantastic deal they got, but at the same time.
I don't know. There were a lot of interested teams, and I don't think Denver really wanted the number one pick from Detroit. I don't know if Detroit wanted to invest in Cutler or whether they want to pick their own quarterback.
No, I agree with you. I just don't know how many teams would have given up two number ones and their quarterback, and it's a pretty good deal. But, I mean, that shows you how high Cutler was valued, you know? But, yeah, I think Chicago had to make this move. I think there are people that were saying that Chicago wouldn't. A lot of Chicago fans were saying that they wouldn't. And so Chicago kind of had to do this, and I'm glad they did.
So I guess there you have it. There's our take on the Jay Cutler situation. We're going to talk a little bit more about the NFL with some police activity in the NFL right after this brief public service announcement. So without further ado, David, take it away, buddy.
Global warming. We can still make a difference. If every family replaced three frequently used light bulbs with compact fluorescent bulbs, it's like taking 3.5 million cars off the road. Find out more at fightglobalwarming.com. That's fightglobalwarming.com. This is brought to you by the Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Again, you're listening to KWIR Sports Talk. We're talking sports. 90.3 FM here in Clayton, Missouri on KWR Radio. Thank you, David, for that public service announcement.
No problem.
Thanks, Tim, for the music in the background.
Yeah, I just brought the band in. You guys can leave now. Thanks.
Appreciate
that.
Thank you.
Guys.
Appreciate it, band. Well, you can call us. The phone is working, kind of. You can call us at 314-935-5987. That's 314-935-5987.
Or if email is your preferred use of communication, you can email us at kwersportstalk@gmail.com. kwersportstalk@gmail.com.
So let's go through these police stories chronologically. Let's start with Ryan Motes. I don't really feel like giving the rundown. I'm not into it right now.
Ryan Motes. Well, his mother-in-law was dying, and so they were speeding.
Houston Texans player.
Yes, he's a running back for the Texans.
Yep.
Formerly of Louisiana Tech.
Thank you, David. his mother-in-law is dying, so he's speeding to the hospital. And as you can imagine, you know, they're kind of a little bit frantic. They speed through a red light. They get pulled over. He explains to the cop what's happening. The cop doesn't really want to hear it. And kind of just proceeds to pull out a gun. I mean, it really just got out of hand. And actually, his wife just ended up just going to the hospital. I mean, they were right by the hospital. She just said, forget it. And she just walked right toward the hospital. And apparently the cop had a gun pointed at her. And then when he stepped out of the car, he pointed it at him. It was kind of just an out-of-control situation. The cop ends up apologizing and then resigning from his police force. And just a really unfortunate situation. They did accept his apology. But I don't know. It was a weird story. It just seemed like, I don't know.
It's a tragic story. The fact that his mother-in-law died. Well, I mean, it really sucks. And yeah. I feel like things like this happen all the time. And we only heard about it because it's an NFL player.
Yeah. And by the way, yeah, his mother-in-law was dead by the time they got to the room. So, yeah, it was unfortunate that it happened. Yeah, I guess that's pretty much all there is to say.
And I sympathize with both parties. And obviously with Mose and his family. That's just so unnecessary. When you look at the policeman, he just kind of got on his power trip. You know, he's got, oh, I've got a big gun, you know, don't do anything. You know, he wasn't even willing to really listen to what the situation was. But at the same time, being a police officer is like one of the most thankless jobs. And no matter what, people are going to hate you, even if you're trying to do the right thing.
Yep.
You're just trying to follow your basic protocol so nothing bad happens to you or just anyone else. And you know, you still get blamed for death. And, you know, this is something that he could have obviously compromised and found out, you know, a better situation. But, I mean, still, it's a hard situation to be in when you're trying to enact your laws.
Exactly.
And you get in trouble no matter what.
And so, you know that he didn't mean any harm by what he did at all. He definitely regrets what happened. So, yeah, I mean, it really sucks. Motes had a pretty touching quote, I thought. They said, what do you think, whether the officer Powell was his name, whether he should be fired? He said, I really don't know. All I know is what he did was wrong. I mean, he stole a moment from me. He stole a moment away from me that I can never get back. That's really sad. I almost cried while I just read that. That's how sad it is.
Yeah, it is. it is sad.
All right. Well, I don't know.
And we could talk about, there's another story that, it's not. It's also kind of sad. This involves my team, the Cleveland Browns. One of our star acquisitions last year.
Just re-signed him to a 5-year contract.
Just re-signed him, Dante Stallworth. Or we gave him a bonus, a yearly bonus. But Dante Stallworth, wide receiver for the Cleveland Browns, formerly of the University of Tennessee, he was in Miami over his football break before they get into their practices again. And I think he went out, had a good night. He drank a lot.
Well, he didn't even. I mean, he drank a decent amount. His blood alcohol count was 0.12.
Yeah.
Legal is 0.08. So he was tipsy and driving, or drunk and driving, and should not have been driving.
Yeah. So basically, the scenario. And he was drinking the night before, and this is 7 o'clock in the morning. I think he went to bed. He woke up.
So he must have drank a lot. It was 7:15 in the morning.
Yeah. So that was the part. So he wakes up and he's driving back. And he sees a pedestrian who is trying to cross the street. Now, this is not in a crosswalk. He's just trying to cross the street. There's not that many people out there. And he flashes his lights at the pedestrian but does not slow down. He's going 50 miles an hour in a 40-mile-an-hour zone, which people do. But
people do a lot.
But he's going.
I'd probably
go
48 in that condition.
But he's going fast.
you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I do. Exactly. And he's flashing his lights, and he does not slow down. And he hits the pedestrian. and the pedestrian ultimately dies. He doesn't die immediately upon impact, but within the next day or so,
yeah,
the pedestrian dies. And it's not clear whether Stallworth drove away. I think he did drive
away.
No.
He stayed there and said, no, I'm the man who hit that guy. I hit that guy who's lying on the ground, which I think, I mean,
that's noble of him.
You obviously want to blame the drunk driver for his actions, but I think Stallworth, after hitting the guy, I think Stallworth handled the situation as well as he can right now. And again, you want to fault him for making a stupid decision, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I mean,
it's very unfortunate. That's the word I was looking for.
Manslaughter is the charge. He could be going to jail for years. You kill somebody.
Yep.
Especially when alcohol is involved. That's what really pushes it over the top. The fact that he was drunk, that really pushes it from being, you know, maybe a couple of months, maybe 1 or 2 years. That pushes it toward that 15-year maximum. And I've heard several stories on 60 Minutes and such that when cases like this happen, they're trying to make that murder. And so that would be a minimum sentence of 15 years. And I don't think that's going to happen in this case, but you can see how seriously this is taken. The fact that when alcohol is involved and you do strike someone with your vehicle and kill them, you're going to go away. And so Stallworth, for right now, at least, his career is done in the NFL.
Which is very sad. Another thing is that Reyes, who's the passer, the pedestrian, was not in a crosswalk while crossing the MacArthur Causeway, which I've driven on. It's a pretty busy street. It's like a highway. So if a car's only going 50 miles an hour, I don't know, you'd think you'd look both ways. So, again, I'm not blaming Stallworth at all because he should not have been drunk or driving. But I really wish that there were some eyewitnesses to really let us know what happened in this. Because why didn't Stallworth slow down? If you see the guy, why do you just flash your lights? What do lights even matter at 7:15 in the morning? Is it bright out? I just have a lot of questions with this whole thing, and it's a really, really unfortunate situation, I think.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, my condolences to the family and everything. That's got to be a tough situation because he's a father of I think, a couple children and, you know, a husband. But I don't know. I don't even know what to say because there's another one of those situations where I can sympathize with both. Obviously, Stallworth, you know, he's in the wrong, but there have been plenty of times where I've driven over the speed limit. Now, I was not driving with like a 0.12 blood alcohol level, but I was driving 10 over the speed limit. And you see a pedestrian, obviously you slow down, but in certain situations, if it's just like a, you know, if you're driving like a 50, 40 mile an hour zone,
if there's a car behind you even.
Yeah, then I don't know. I don't want to say the wrong thing here.
Yeah, I don't want to say the wrong thing either. I've been towing that line for the last 5 minutes.
Well, let me just say this.
It sucks.
Let me just say this. As much as I hate to admit it, this probably happens a lot more than we like to admit. And when you're a professional athlete, you get the magnifying glass.
Exactly.
On you. And so we pay close attention to everything that happens in your life.
Exactly.
It's unfortunate that it happened, but like I said, I'm sure it happens.
Yeah. I think an issue, this doesn't really have to do with sports, but an issue with drunk driving in general is I think at least our culture is trained, you're told not to drunk drive, but it becomes the kind of thing where you don't want to get drunk. You don't want to drive drunk because you don't want to get caught driving drunk. And you don't really think about the fact that you could run into someone and end their life and really end your life too.
Yeah.
You don't think that stuff's going to happen to you. You think you might get pulled over by a cop, and that's really the extent of it.
That's your deterrent. It's not. It's not that you would be harming someone else.
If Stallworth knew that there was a chance that there'd be a passerby walking across the street when he was driving, he would not have gotten in that car. He just thought, I'm good enough to drive home. I'll drive straight home. It's not that big of a deal. It's 7:15 in the morning. I just want to get home already. And that's the problem, I think, with drunk driving is that it doesn't hit you until it really hits you.
Especially when you're drunk. I mean, that's the hardest time to think rationally is when you've got a 0.12 blood alcohol.
He probably didn't even know he was drunk.
Yeah. Yeah.
He probably thought he was tired.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really, and I mean, I'm sure NFL players get a lot of training on this. I mean, they train them on everything. They train them on guns, alcohol, public, you know, they go through a lot of training on how to conduct themselves in everyday life. And I mean, I completely agree with you. I'm sure he feels very, very bad today. And he's gonna, it's something he's gonna have to live with for the rest of his life, unfortunately. But
and he does seem like a man of high character, so it's a really horrible situation.
Yeah,
and both that and the Moats situation and the Cutler situation.
You know,
really
what?
Horrible.
You know what? I have a story. I have a story on a lighter note here. I want to.
Yeah, please pick up
about
our spirits.
Depressing stories here. Now, on a lighter note, everyone knows that April Fools every year. Something, some story comes out, and it's pretty funny. There are two stories I thought of. One, I'll just mention, just the title was pretty good. It was talking about Tim, the Republicans, the GOP's plans for Tim Tebow to lead the party and make a speech in, like, year 2012 to resurrect the GOP. I thought that was pretty
Where
funny.
Where was this played?
I think this was right. It was in one of the sports news. I think it was like rivals.com. They just decided to, or maybe it was scout.com. They decided to announce that Tebow was running as one of the GOP candidates in 2012. So I thought that was pretty good. And then the one that was actually pretty funny was Hashim Thabeet, obviously the star center for the UConn Huskies. He's Twitters, and you know how everyone into Twitter now. It's the popular thing to do for this month or this year. And the Beat has his Twitter. He decides to post on April Fool's. He's like, oh, my God, I can't believe they did a surprise drug test.
Oh.
Like, I failed my drug test. I can't go to Detroit. Like, good luck to everybody. Like, it's like, I'm so sorry, guys. Like, I'm so sorry, AJ, Jeff. Like, good luck to you guys. Like,
it's
I apologize.
It's a great
and,
one.
And then, like, people went nuts. People were flipping out. And he decides, you know, 30 minutes later, hey, guys, I was just joking. April Fool's.
That's Twitter, great.
Twitter's ridiculous. Yeah. But, it's funny you mentioned April Fool's because every year PTI and Around the Horn do, on ESPN programs in the afternoon, they do their own pranks. And I thought PTI's was very good this year. Theirs was that Calipari, actually, his deal was off. And he was at the press conference. And while this was going on, Kentucky was in the background negotiating with Rick Pitino. And Rick Pitino went back and accepted the deal to go back to Kentucky. So Calipari had to go back to Memphis. And they went on and they argued about what the implications were for both teams. And, I mean, they went through this entire thing for 2 minutes arguing about this. And at the end, they're like, April Fool's.
Oh, that's funny.
It was fantastic. And last year, I remember they did something about how the Kansas, I don't remember who Kansas played in the Final Four or the Elite Eight or whatever, but it was basically that Kansas had to replay that game, that it didn't count.
Oh, the Davidson
I remember
game.
That.
Yeah,
the Davidson
Kansas-Davidson. The fact that that last shot didn't count or something like, or there was a miscount of the points and it had to be. It was.
That's good.
PTI is just awesome. They're awesome for their April Fools.
You know I'm a fanatic 49ers fan. I check this website called 49erswebzone.com, and every year they have an April Fools thing where they – the lead story is just something that Niners fans wish would happen, but doesn't actually happen. Like last year, it was that we got Jason Taylor, and every year I look at it and I'm like, oh, that I'm like, sweet, and then I'm like, oh, damn, I look at the calendar. So yesterday, or I'm sorry, on Wednesday it was Broncos agree to trade or Broncos to send Cutler to San Francisco, or something like that, and it was like a pretty legit headline, and the story actually got picked up by several local news outlets.
Oh.
Who read this, and it was announced on the radio.
Oh, no.
Niners, even the Niners beat writer had an article about it already.
Oh, my God.
And they just totally pranked everybody, and everyone fell for it.
That's awful.
But if you read the article, you could tell that it was false because, I don't know, they said something about Kurt Warner and Jesus or something. I don't know what it was. It was something about Kurt Warner not wearing gloves next year because God told him not to wear gloves.
Oh, my
that
goodness.
Was also part of the article. So if you read anything into the article, you would have realized it was false. But
so you're saying they just read the headline.
They just read the headline, and just that's what media does. They just
I
except
mean,
for us,
know,
we're true.
It's a you know it's a fast paced business. So you got to try to stay on top. So hey, we have 1 minute left. Let's talk baseball, huh? baseball.
Sorry,
starts.
We can actually
starts
talk baseball.
Hilarious.
Starts on Monday, I think.
Yeah.
I like how we save baseball for the final minute.
I'm going to the opening weekend, I believe for the Cardinals. It's not opening day, but they're playing the Houston Astros going on a Friday.
Yeah, I'm actually going to the game on Wednesday.
Oh,
so
okay.
Yeah, that's why I was not able to join you, but should be good. just discovering StubHub. So,
StubHub's the best.
Very cheap tickets, because if you get a ticket through the box office at Cardinals games, it's like
certain stadiums,
like $20.
Certain teams StubHub's good for. Others, it's not.
College football, it's generally not good.
Yeah,
if you look into the Yankees, not good. Well, Yankees bleachers are all right, but like Giants games, New York Giants, New York Jets is like. Yeah. Thousands of
you
dollars.
Cardinals
on StubHub.
Tickets through StubHub or a similar site, you can probably save about ten bucks.
You got Rams tickets, you can save about 40. So
yeah. Well, that's it for us, I guess.
Yeah, we're not actually going to talk about baseball. That was just
we just wanted to talk about
April
StubHub.
Fools.
April Fools, we got you.
Yeah, I
love baseball. On behalf of the gang, that's Jeff and that's Tim and Dave and me, the gang. Thanks for joining us, guys. It's been a pleasure bringing you Sports Talk. Okay, we're Sports Talk. We're talking sports. Thanks for the emails, or the email, singular.
And Tim and I will be back next week. We'll have a special guest.
I'll call in.
He'll call
from
in.
From the road. But, guys, seriously, have a great weekend, and thanks for joining us again. So, we'll see you next week.
Flash it. New things. This is a song. Got two lyrics. Very simple and plain, we can all sing together. No ass to feel left out. Join in. This is a song that people need to be singing right about now. When they're telling you that you can't, you shouldn't, you won't.